One.
All right, this thing's rolling here.
All right, that's nice.
And then she's going to be rolling there.
All right.
I did a check. We're recording the podcast outside today.
Podbean?
The Podbean. My name is Christian with The Most High Show, and today we're going to be talking about honesty, which is honestly a very abstract thought as I've talked to people. And with me today is my good friend, who I would tell him if he had a booger in his nose, Mitchell.
Mr. Wilson.
Yeah, so that was a pretty lame intro.
I liked it.
Yeah?
I mean, honesty is important to me, and it's important to me that the people I surround myself with are honestly trying to tell the truth.
Yeah.
And if they can honestly tell me if I've got something in my teeth, something like that,
yeah,
I would appreciate that.
That's the level of honesty that you... But that's the level of honesty that you give.
I try.
Yeah.
Some people don't appreciate that and don't want to know if they have something in their teeth. And so that's their truth, and I honestly try to respect that.
Yeah.
So I try to meet people where they're at and figure out what people are looking for.
Yeah. Well, as soon as we started talking about that we were going to do this topic, this is your topic, so I'm going to let you kind of lead. But before we get into it, I put a thing, I went on Facebook and kind of get... Ask some of my friends, what's the difference between honesty and truth?
That was a tricky one.
Man. And the answers I got was the opposite of what I thought they were going to be. The direct opposite. Most people said that, and there was a great argument, which is the lawyer argument, that a lawyer isn't required to tell the truth. They're just required to be honest.
So I don't even know if I'd agree with that, but I feel what...
That was what the general consensus of... between honesty and truth was that I don't need to be, a lawyer doesn't need to be completely truthful, but they can be honest. So they can withhold facts, and that's still being honest.
Yeah, I'm good friends with a lawyer, so I'm going to...
You need to ask.
I'm just going to say I got a different perspective on that. My understanding of lawyers is that they're supposed to give you the best representation possible, and the truth and honesty are not necessarily the priority. You're supposed to get the best defense possible, and they're supposed to question facts. But nonetheless, there are different types of lawyers out there.
So, right.
As far as honesty goes, for me early on, I had to look at what honesty was in order to try and keep from getting loaded. And I was told three things would be indispensable: honesty, willingness, and an open mind. And so I didn't start looking at really the truth first. I started looking at honesty first. And I was encouraged to practice to the best of my ability saying things that were accurate as far as facts. And so for me, that was honesty. And then I was also encouraged to be honest with myself. And supposedly that would help me stop from making poor decisions. And first and foremost, the worst thing was first. I needed to put down the drink and the drug. Mm-hmm. So I remember honestly trying to tell the truth when I could, mm-hmm. which was the truth as far as I'm concerned is, to the best of my ability, representing what was accurately going on around me. And I had a choice to tell the truth or not the truth. And the tricky part was that sometimes I had to tell the truth after I had told a lie, or be honest after I had told a lie. Mm-hmm. And they said that was called telling on yourself. And so there was a point in time, I remember this is gonna sound trivial, but I was living in a three-quarter house, which for people who don't know, a lot of times we go to detox, then we end up in a halfway house, and then we get a little more freedom when we're in a three-quarter house, which is monitored, drug testing, yeah. But we're in the community, we're working, we're out and about. And I let my dog stay in my car because, you know, that was my partner. Mm-hmm. But I let him use the recovery residence's blanket, and he messed it up. It was muddy. And so I came up with some lie.
So, yeah.
You know, this is why it's muddy. And then I thought about it, and I was like, man, I don't feel good about that. Like, there was something inside of me for the first right. time in a long time where I didn't feel good about telling a lie. And then it hit me. I connected the dots. This is what they're talking about.
Yeah.
And now I get an opportunity to tell them myself.
Yeah.
And I wanted to stay sober. I was willing to go to any lengths.
Yeah.
So I told them, you know, this is not actually what happened. I don't know why I said something else. I guess I was scared.
I don't think they were surprised.
No.
Right.
People are dying all around me, and I'm feeling bad about the blanket.
Yeah.
Which is actually probably a good sign.
Yeah. Well, lying is kind of a defense mechanism, right? It's like it's a survival mechanism.
Right.
Right? So if you're looking at just a human kind of raw human existence, lying can be very beneficial, right? It can get us to where we can survive in certain situations. And so there are times when, you know, that as a instinct, you know, well, it's no surprise why it's an instinct, right?
Right.
And then there's no surprise that you don't really need to teach lying to anybody.
Yeah.
Right? You don't need to teach a child to lie.
They figure that out quick, don't they?
They figure it out very quick, which is really interesting, right? And then kind of how do you... I have kids, and I think you have,
I have one.
And so it's really hard when a child comes and is honest and they tell on themselves, like you said. It's hard because you want to, like, you know, you can't necessarily chastise them then, like, you know, for what they did, because... at least in my perspective now, understanding the value of honesty, right? And that it's okay as long as you're telling the truth. But the reality is that most people's experience is it's okay as long as I lie, right? I mean, isn't that most people's experience in life?
I think that for the average human being or the normal people, lying is acceptable every so often. Like what they call it, a little white lie.
Right.
And there's some tricky areas there, you know.
Yeah.
If the beautiful woman you love comes and asks you if something makes her look a little larger than she'd like and you think that maybe she might be on to something, right. You know, it's probably, most people would probably agree that's not something that you're going to be truthful about.
Right.
Because you care about that person's feelings.
Well, that's where you can be honest.
I don't know that I completely understand that approach, but what do you mean?
Well, according to the general consensus of what honesty is that's where you can withhold the fact that, yeah, your posterior is a little large in those jeans, but you can withhold that fact and still give her some sort of, those look great, or...
Well, see, and that's the truth. And
because, I prefer you to have a fat butt.
Yeah,
that's my preference.
That's my truth.
Right.
So
right. So gotcha. It's like, it looks great in those jeans.
Yeah.
Right. You're not answering the question was, does my butt look big in these pants? And you're not saying yes. You're saying you look great in those pants. So you're being honest, but you're not necessarily conveying the truth.
Yeah, this one's hard for me to wrap my head around.
Yeah, it was very hard for me. So I'm just kind of playing the advocate here because that was the consensus that I got back when I put the question out there.
But that's for like a normal person, right? The stuff I'm talking about, that's not really the stuff that gets me. The stuff that gets me is...
Right.
The stuff that is helpful to keep me in active addiction. So...
To keep you out of active addiction.
Well, in or out.
Uh-huh.
If I'm lying, for me... On a consistent basis.
Yeah.
And that's part of my day-to-day. That's part of my life. That's part of my method of operation.
Yeah.
I'm going to use. And if I'm using, I've got to lie to keep it going. I've got to basically live two lives.
Yeah.
You know, an extreme example is you get pulled over. Where are you going?
We can hear the wind because we're recording outside.
Yeah, we're enjoying the beautiful outdoors.
It's perfect.
So if a police officer pulls you over and you're in active addiction and you're going somewhere you probably shouldn't go, you're probably not going to tell the truth.
Yeah, I'm going to the dope man.
Yeah, you can't say that.
Right.
So for the addict, it's very important to fine-tune that lying because otherwise you can't go around telling people you're being self-destructive and breaking the law. That won't last very long.
So let's do that. Let's because I kind of thought of some different ways that honesty comes into play, right? We can be honest to ourselves, honest to others, what you're talking about is when it comes to those of us who are addicts, are in recovery, right? And I don't think we're special in this, although we do get the benefit of this. We get the benefit of having to be honest, right?
I think it's a benefit.
It is, because we know, maybe because our past is so full of lies, but that's one of the things that, like, I notice the most about being clean and sober now is I don't have to lie, you know? And then, you know, you lie, and then you lie on a lie, and then you're lying on that lie, and it's just exhausting. And it's so good to not have to do that anymore, right?
Absolutely.
But the thing is that, you know, the life of trying to be honest and being honest with yourself, that takes some rigorous work. What are some ways and some things that you do practically every day to make sure that you're staying honest to yourself first?
Well, first and foremost, I've got to try to pray every day.
Yeah.
And for me, I don't have to really understand how that works. But I know that my truth is, and I can honestly say, when I pray, I feel better. Mm-hmm. I have a better day. I feel at more peace. So I also need to...
What's the praying do with the honesty? Take me through that process. What is that?
I don't know that I completely understand it. But for some reason, the more I pray, the more honest I'm able to be.
Okay.
The easier it is to not tell a lie. The easier it is to live a life, a day at a time, where I don't have to lie.
Right.
So...
Is it the surrendering to a higher power, authority higher than yours, that forces you to ally? There's a quote I found, which I thought was really good. It says, this comes from a book called... Hey, this is what is going on. Will you hold it with me? It's a great title. When the heart is open to the light of truth, when there are no secrets, catches, or barriers, the demons have nowhere to lodge and hide, and they cannot begin their crafting or obsessions and illusions. They are brought into the arena of truth before they have a chance to lodge themselves in the chamber of the inner self and grow twisted, perverse, and stunned from lack of light and air.
Exactly. And I was told secrets keep us sick.
Yeah.
And so lying and secrets tend to go hand in hand.
Yeah.
And if I'm being honest and I'm telling the truth and I'm living a life dedicated to that, it's very difficult to have too many secrets.
Yeah.
So you asked me something to the effect of, what do I do on a daily basis to be honest with myself?
Yeah.
And really communicating with other people who are also on the same path and talking to them about what's really going on with me. Not externally, but internally.
Right.
Has helped me stay honest, because oftentimes what I think is the truth is actually not accurate.
Yeah.
Like, I might think you have some problem with me.
Right.
But when I talk to our community and talk to you, I might figure out that's paranoia.
Yeah.
That's some symptom of something else. That's not even real.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Well, I have a friend that I do a weekly call with, and some weeks we miss the call. But what I notice is, if I don't call, the call doesn't happen. And so what I realized was, when I talked to him actually today, and I said, hey, look, if I don't call you, you can call me. Because there are days when I get up and I don't want to talk to nobody. I want to isolate. I want to be in my feelings. And I don't feel like reaching out. So when you don't get that call from me, don't think it's, oh, I'm too busy, or I don't want to talk to you. I may be having something going on, you know? And so that level of honesty, and I think that freed him too on his end, because he was able to say, oh, okay, I'm glad you said that.
Right.
Because now I know if I don't get a call from you at our, you know, time that we usually do our call, then I'm free to reach out because you may be having a day.
Right.
Yeah.
Absolutely. He could be thinking that you don't really care.
Right.
And maybe that you just need a little extra help that day.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. That's very interesting.
Yeah.
So you sent me something. I'm trying to remember what the title of it was regarding this. Can you refresh my memory?
I don't know. How people learn to be dishonest was one thing we found, and lying in the everyday. And honesty allows us to live with not knowing. It's pretty good.
Let me see that for a second.
Yeah. There were some really interesting things when I started going back into the Greek and Hebrew definitions of these words, that you found some kind of richer definitions. Go ahead.
So you sent me something that really touched me about the blind boy.
Oh, right. Yeah.
And I'd like to read that.
Yeah, do it.
So it says, a blind boy sat on the steps of a building with a hat by his feet. He held up a sign which said, I am blind, please help. There were only a few coins in the hat. A man was walking by. He took a few coins from his pocket and dropped them into the hat. He then took the sign, turned it around, and wrote some words. He put the sign back so that everyone who walked by would see the new words. Soon the hat began to fill up. A lot more people were giving money to the blind boy. That afternoon, the man who had changed the sign came to see how things were. The boy recognized his footsteps and asked, were you the one who changed my sign this morning? What did you write? The man said, I only wrote the truth. I said what you said, but in a different way. What he had written was, today is a beautiful day and I cannot see it. Of course, both signs told people the boy was blind. But the first sign simply said the boy was blind. The second sign told people they were so lucky that they were not blind.
Yeah.
Should we be surprised that the second sign was more effective?
Right.
I love that.
Yeah. That's the honesty and truth, right? It's conveying the same truth, right? I guess. Not to get hung up on that. Because I don't think that's really like... when we're, you know, recovering and fighting for our lives, we're not trying to decipher the difference between truth and honesty.
No.
I don't want to get stuck there.
It's about perspective.
Yeah.
I think. So, honestly, looking back, I thought I was in the worst position possible when I was hitting bottom. And looking back, I was being positioned to be given the greatest gift.
Right.
So,
yeah.
When I thought
your truth,
my life
moment
was over, yeah, it was right. Just beginning.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's hard to really accurately convey that to someone who's in the greatest of suffering.
Right.
That if they allow a gift like sobriety and recovery into their life, they could have such an incredible life ahead of them that they don't even realize that they really haven't yet begun to feel alive.
Yeah.
And that's something that is very difficult to describe in words.
Yeah. Well, for me, the moment where things shifted was through honesty. I was continually showing up late at work. And so one of the guys, Steve's barber came to me and said, he said, hey, you know, they're seeing that you're not showing up and what's going on, you know, came to me like a friend and, you know, great people. And it was like this moment of honesty that I had. And it had not pre-planned this at all, but it was like somebody coming and asking that direct question. I was forced to just be honest. And I said, here's the honest. I'm addicted to cocaine. I'm addicted to pills. I can't stop. And that moment of honesty led to my recovery. I mean, the response that I got was beyond what I would ever had expected.
He probably didn't expect that either.
No, he was not. He probably thought I was just, you know, being lazy or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I was pretty good at hiding it. I mean, they thought I was pretty crazy, but, you know. Now, that's not everyone's... that's not everyone's story, right? Everyone doesn't get to say, I was honest. I finally told my wife that I was a drug addict and she accepted me with loving arms and got me help. Sometimes that's not the response you get, right? But there is something about internally letting that light in. Even if the resulting actions or the consequences of that are not as gracious as mine were, which I know I'm lucky. I know that that doesn't happen to everybody. And even if you're, even if the consequence is not that grace and love that I received, something still happened, right? This light shined or shone on this place in my heart that had not, that had been completely isolated from everybody and everything. It was hidden away in this deep place in my soul. And the moment I said, I got a problem, was like this light broke through. And that reaction, you know, created and can create a chain of reactions for us. And so to me, if you're listening and you're still inactive and you're inactive addiction and you're still struggling with this, right? Finding the right person to be honest with is key. Like this guy was, you know, solid dude. So I kind of felt like I could tell him. And I think that if you have people in your life that are like that. Now, see, let me just tell you this. So before up to that point, I would be, you know, doing dope in Decatur or whatever with a bunch of other people doing dope. And I'd be like, I got to stop doing this, man. This stuff's killing me. I was being honest.
Yeah.
But I was being honest to the people who were doing it with me.
Right.
So that honesty wasn't helping me any, right? So it I had to be honest with somebody who was outside of that world.
Someone who had a solution, perhaps?
Yeah, not that he even had a solution, but that he was going to hold me accountable to it.
Maybe he knew somebody with a solution?
Yeah, well, he definitely did, yeah, for sure. No, I mean, that was a very honest moment for me, you know? I still think, like, I suspect that I'm not quite as honest with myself as I think I am.
So you're still growing?
I feel like that.
I feel like I'm still growing, too.
Yeah. Well, there's sometimes I go, ooh, yeah, I've been an asshole for the last 30 days because I thought this thing, and I really wasn't taking a real honest look at my thoughts and feelings about it.
And sometimes honesty for me is saying to myself, I'm not ready to let go of this yet.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes it's a step in the right direction. At least I'm admitting to myself that at some point I probably need to let go of this behavior.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. What else we have? I have a good quote here from Adarine Rich. It says, an honorable, this was really good. I think this is the next step for us in the honesty conversation. Relationships. Right? Adarine Rich. I don't know who that is, but. This is our quote, an honorable human relationship, that is, one in which two people have the right to use the word love, I like the way that's worded, love that's worded, is a process of refining the truths they can tell each other. It is important to do this because it breaks down human self-delusion and isolation. And me and my wife were just talking to our friend, our mutual friend, John, pronounced with an on. And we were talking about how now me and her get to communicate with each other in a way that we had a very hard time doing early on in our marriage. But now we can communicate honestly with each other. Hey, this is how I'm feeling or thinking. And it doesn't always result in, you know, flying F-bombs.
Yeah, it's interesting how our approach to a feeling or a situation can facilitate a healthy or maybe a not so healthy dialogue.
Yeah.
So a lot of that's been learned through therapy and working with people who've been down this path.
Yeah.
And I believe I heard at one point that one of the defining characteristics of someone suffering from substance abuse or one of these self-destructive affliction is the inability to form a true partnership with another human being.
Yeah.
And maybe we have partnerships.
Right.
But maybe they're not as genuine, and maybe we're not being honest with that person, and maybe we're not actually treating that person the way we know that we would like to treat them or know they deserve to be treated.
Well, if you're the means in which I'm getting high and I got a definite problem with you, I'm going to put that aside as long as you're getting me high.
Yeah.
Right?
So I know that now being honest with the woman I love about where I'm at in my life and how I'm feeling and what I need to be healthy and asking how I can be supportive of her, that helps us build a relationship, and that communication could never occur at that level for me getting loaded, because my priority would be getting loaded and making sure that that was sustained.
Yeah.
And now the priority is, are you healthy? Am I healthy? Are we getting healthier together?
Mm-hmm.
Are our friends and family taken care of? And that's a completely different conversation and connection.
Yeah.
Which I wouldn't trade for anything.
Yeah. Yeah, it feels like that comes from this sense of a higher power, you know? This, whatever is this call to be honest, you know? I mean, I don't know. It just, as you're describing it, I'm thinking, why else? Unless there was some higher authority over our lives, that then why else would we really be honest? There's something that says, okay, connection is better than isolation.
So you've probably heard me say this before, but good orderly direction is something that I think about.
Yeah.
And that's an acronym for God.
Uh-huh. I like
so
that.
So while I don't necessarily completely understand, you know, what goes on in the universe,
right.
It seems like when I attempt to be part of good orderly direction, I get tapped into or have a better understanding of what I would consider to be a higher or ultimate truth,
yeah.
which is that love and family and friends and health and wellness and community are what's really important.
Yeah.
But if you would ask me 7 years ago about what's important, it would have been a completely different set of things.
Yeah.
And I wasn't practicing good orderly direction. And so I was not connected or tapped into the light.
Yeah.
I was tapped into darkness.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I was dying.
Yeah.
So I just see correlations here.
Right.
You know, my background's in science,
uh-huh.
and what I'm doing is working, even though I can't explain it scientifically.
Right. Yeah.
So I love it.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I don't know if I'm telling on myself in this. I probably am in some way, but one of the most rewarding things about being sober for me is relationships.
Absolutely.
It's like the only, you know, I can't get high and maintain these relationships. If I could, I would have figured out how to do that because it'd be the perfect scenario. But relationships with people, like to actually have a relationship with someone and be like, oh, I kind of enjoy you as a person. I kind of like look forward to just seeing you and hanging out, you know, that's a new thing, right? Because for a majority of my life, people were just a means to an end. You know, how am I going to leverage my connection to you to do X or Y or whatever? So to actually begin to be in relationships and then actually begin to enjoy those relationships was, to me, is by far the best byproduct of clean living.
Absolutely. Some things are priceless.
Yeah.
And I've told you before that I felt like I bought a lie. And the lie was that these pleasure-seeking activities, these self-destructive behaviors were my goal in life, and everything else was a means to an end.
Right.
And now I see more clearly that, you know, we have a short amount of time here, and the things that are really worthwhile are the things that money can't buy.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
I think about that a lot.
So, there was a reason why you brought this topic up. Why do you think you kind of felt like, you know, when you're talking to somebody who's early on in their recovery, you know, how do you communicate honesty and how do you help someone to become honest?
Well, first I got to look at myself and realize that I still struggle with it. Like cash register honesty, I was telling you that.
Oh, yes. Let's talk about that.
So if I'm at the grocery store.
Yeah.
And you ring me up for something mm-hmm. less than what it's supposed to be rung up for.
Yeah.
I have a hard time telling you, no, that's supposed to be more expensive.
Right.
So while I struggle with it at a different level than someone who's getting loaded.
Right.
I still struggle with it. And I had to start somewhere. And I know that the sooner they start, the better their chances are of getting to a place where they're no longer
right.
self-destructive at the level they are.
Yeah.
So that's why it's one of the first things we talk about. And like I told you, I've been encouraged to practice three things that are indispensable: honesty, open-mindedness,
yeah.
and willingness
yeah.
to live a better life and do the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so we got to start at square one. What's going to help you stop hurting yourself?
Yeah.
So you can also stop hurting other people.
Yeah. There was somebody we were helping to get somewhere and do something, and they weren't quite being honest with themselves yet. And so I talked to a couple people who worked in some rehabs and owned some recovery centers, and we had this conversation about, is honesty a requirement? You know, and what's the requirement? And the general consensus of the answer I got back the most was just the willingness to stop is all that's required. You can work your way to getting to where you're being honest.
Right.
You know, what was happening was a lot of people were saying, well, he's just not honest. He's not being honest. And to me, it was like, well, we can get to honesty.
You got
to
be willing to
first,
try.
Let's get, are you willing to stop? And if you have that willingness, then it'll lead you to honesty, right?
So long as you practice the other
right.
principles yeah. required.
Yeah. I feel like honesty, I feel like I'm pretty honest. I feel like that's probably one of the things is that I show, like, you know, when you get your chip and someone's like, oh, well, how'd you get by? Or, you know, when you reach a benchmark in your recovery and you get a couple years and then they ask you, well, how did you get to this point? And, you know, the two things I say is I showed up and I was honest. Everything else I feel like was act of God. I did very little in, I did all the minor lifting. You know, I feel like God did all the heavy lifting. And, but just showing up and being honest. So it's one thing to show up, but it's another thing that when you're in that meeting or in that room or you're with that person, whether it's your counselor, wherever you are, that you're honest. You say, yeah, I'm still struggling with this. You know what I mean? And
yeah.
So that kind of leads to one of the primary things that keeps us from being honest, which is shame.
Yeah.
So what's your experience with shame?
Well, my experience was that growing up, it was fun to do bad things.
Yeah.
And then this feeling of guilt and shame would come afterwards.
Yeah.
And when I connected the dots that I could get loaded to alleviate those uncomfortable feelings.
Yeah.
A more vicious cycle started.
Yeah.
And then I started doing even worse things.
Right.
And having to use more.
To cover it up.
And I got to a certain point where I'm always loaded.
Yeah.
I'm more or less always doing things I shouldn't be doing.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no way to stop me.
Yeah.
I'm beyond human aid.
Right. Wow.
So I was told that if you reach out and ask for help to move mountains, you might want to bring a shovel. So you said you might not have done the heavy lifting.
Yeah.
But you had to do your part.
Yeah.
And willingness to be honest.
Yeah.
Is I think indispensable.
Yeah. And there were times, man, there are times when, you know, I'm in a group, I'm in it with a group of people, mostly men, you know, are the environments where I'm in, and I'll be honest. And it gets old. And I was telling someone, I'm like, you know, I'm always in these meetings, you know, bearing my heart out, you know. And it's like, then you look around the room and then someone's like, you know, I had a rough day at work. And so you kind of can get resentful. You're like, man, I just kind of like told you I had this huge issue going on with me. Like, at the risk of looking weak or looking like I'm not dealing, you know, and actually I'm probably more healthy than most of the people in this room, but it's really hard to set that bar. But there's also the other side of that. Sometimes you set that bar and you say, hey, I'm going through this. I'm struggling with this, whatever this is, that someone else goes, oh, yeah, me too. And now all of a sudden the room changes. And now the next person says, yeah, me too, man. Or I'm not doing that, but this is what I'm doing. And I need some help with that. So when it comes to like ongoing and taking the power out of the shame, sometimes you got to, honesty is our only weapon against shame, right?
Right. So I remember early on hearing a guy talk about some of the most horrific atrocities being committed against him. And he shared this in, you know, in a recovery setting in front of 100 people.
Yeah.
And when I saw that, it made me think, well, he's been through way worse than me. And maybe one day I can share the horrific things that I've been through and been a part of, and maybe that will help someone else, because some of us have gone further than others.
Yeah.
And when we share our truth honestly, it seems like whether we know it or not, we may be planting seeds and yeah. showing other people the way.
Yeah.
And so one of the things that's been helpful for me is to let go of expectations when possible, and try not to be concerned with what your reaction is or your response is in, in whatever setting, and just have faith that by me being honest, there's more good going on than I am aware of.
Yeah.
So
that's true.
That makes me feel better, knowing that I don't always know what the effects are, and I don't need to. It's not my that's not my job.
Yeah. You shared this with me before, and then you added this to our little rundown. And I really like the way you tell this. Tell me about that, the Chinese proverb.
Okay.
I think it kind of rounds us off.
Okay. So
yeah,
basically I was sitting in a recovery style meeting one time, and this young lady shared that there was this Eastern proverb of an Asian descent. And basically at that time, before she said this, I would have pretty much told you that I knew what was good and what was bad.
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps judgmentally, perhaps sometimes being on to something. However, she basically said there was an old man and he had a horse, and the horse got loose, and his neighbor said, "Oh, that's bad." The old man was wise and he said, "I don't know." Horse comes back and brings with it several other horses. So then the neighbor says, "Oh, that's good."
Mm-hmm.
The old man says, "I don't know if that's good or if that's bad." Then the horse ends up stampeding with the other horses, and they trample the older, wiser man's son's legs. And the neighbor says, "Oh, that's bad." And he says, "I don't know if that's bad or if that's good." And then the village goes to war, and all the young men are drafted, so to speak, except the one who's injured.
Yeah.
And it's a massacre.
Mm-hmm.
So the story goes on and on, I suppose, where we don't necessarily know if something's a blessing in disguise, or if we get what we want, we're really signing up for some real pain and suffering.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, we get to learn beautiful lessons if we're willing to see what's actually happening and willing to try and step out of the way from controlling everything. And even in the worst times, when we control things and destroy things, sometimes there's even a beautiful lesson there. So it's helped me to kind of take a step back and be like, I don't know if you should do this or that. I can tell you what I've done.
Yeah.
I can tell you what my experience is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I would say if you ask me, to me, that story embodies what I feel honesty is. I feel like honesty is very much like good. It's everything. It's the bad parts. It's the good parts. It's everything. You know, with the idea of truth is, you know, you look at a redwood tree from the ground, and it's this giant towering thing. When you look at it from an airplane, and it's just this flat thing of green, right? So,
right.
Depending on your perspective, right? What's the truth, right? And I feel like honesty doesn't really play by those rules. This is my interpretation, right? Which no one shared. I was hoping to get this so I could have some validation. But I feel like honesty doesn't play by those rules. And honesty doesn't play by it's right, it's good, it's true, it's false. Honesty is a little bit bigger and beyond that, you know? Because I feel like in my life, whenever I've been the most honest, you know, it hasn't been, you know, it was a great deal of pride I had to put down to admit that I had a problem and go to rehab and reset my whole friggin' life, you know? So there's a lot of negativity that came from that. But honesty is kind of beyond that. Honesty is, you know, and that's why I feel like maybe it's too poetic of an answer. It's not nailing it down. But I feel like there's something there, and I feel like there's something there with, which I've always loved your kind of thought or the way you describe your acknowledging your higher power by acknowledging that you didn't know. And so when we kind of acknowledge that, hey, there is something greater than us, this mystery that's beyond our comprehension, that's honesty, you know? And so, I felt like we're talking about this. I might as well put all my crazy out there.
Yeah.
Because that was the thought I had when you bring up honesty, that's what I say. I mean, like, let's be honest. You know, like, honestly, I can give somebody the answer. You know what I mean? Or truthfully, I know the answer to your problem or ailment. Not you specifically, but to somebody, right? But in honesty, I'm just going to walk with you, and I'm going to just be in a relationship with you. I'm going to spend some time with you, and maybe we're going to get to a point when you'll be ready for that. But to me, that's truth and that's honesty. Honesty says, I'm going to roll with you on this for a while, because even though I know the truth, it's worth the effort to help you find it on your own.
Honestly, I think the truth is that we're going to have a part two of this when I can meditate on it some more, because I'm just sitting here contemplating how much I know about honesty and truth.
Yeah. So truth is a kind of a Greek thought. And then I looked a little bit at the Hebrew. So I do feel like maybe there might be something worth going back to these ancient languages that are a little more richer than our English language. And where Greek is a little more focused on, you know, good, bad, right, wrong, in, out, you know, this dualistic thinking. So truth is going to always be subjective. It's always going to be based on your perspective.
Right.
But then in Hebrew and in some other languages and cultures and philosophies and thinking, honesty and truth are very different. So, yeah, maybe there is a part two.
Yeah, I think I'm going to have to research this a little bit more.
And so if you do need to get honest, you feel the need, we want you to know that you have a friend in me. And you can reach out to us. So you can send us a message on Facebook, or you can text 657-464-7159. And either I or Mitchell will get back to you. So send us a direct message or text 657-464-7159. That's it?
Thank you. Beautiful.
All right.